Welcome to Security Guy Radio with Black Hat 2016. What's your name, sir?
Stephen Brennan.
And Steve, what do you work for?
I work for a company called Dark Matter.
Dark Matter, excellent name.
A fantastic name.
The space in between everything else, 90% of the universe.
98% last
year. Well, 98 last year. Well,
I'm not an astrophysicist, right?
Security Guy Radio's statistics are a little old sometimes. It happens, you know. Tell us what you guys do.
So Dark Matter is one of those unique niche players. And when I say niche, it's because we address the entire security market, whether it be research and development, services, products. Basically, if we find an area that needs to be addressed, either as far as moving the industry forward or participating in it to further the conversation, that's where you're going to find Dark Matter.
Now, we're at Black Hat, which is cyber. Are you talking about moving the industry forward in physical and cyber?
Absolutely.
Interesting. Okay.
Our focus is primarily cybersecurity,
sure.
But I think it's almost negligent to ignore the other aspects.
I'm glad you say that, because I tell people all the time, right? When I was growing up in the security business, the IT guys were sitting up in their little fifth floor doing all their stuff, and physical security wasn't supposed to know anything about that. But IT doesn't know people.
Absolutely.
Right? And physical security knows behavior.
Yes.
Right? So those two work together. I'm glad you guys get that. That's better. And more companies are getting that now.
I think so. I think it's a realization. I mean, it comes back to the discussion that we've always historically had between where does the CISO sit versus the CSO,
exactly.
And what are their roles?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a discussion we could have for a whole hour.
Right.
But certainly, I think it's important to realize where we sit, not just with regards to physical security, but, you know, complementing other parts of the industry like BCS, business continuity, is an absolutely critical part of security.
And it's so overlooked.
Absolutely.
People think, well, you know, if we have an earthquake in California, we'll just deal with it. And they,
the
big one's going to wipe them out.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, that's quite an initiative to look at all that sort of stuff. We mentioned pre-show smart nations and smart cities. And most people think about smart cities, but I don't think people think about smart nations yet.
Yeah, look, I think one of the things that we're really getting involved in is not just the idea of addressing the entire security market, but really trying to find the areas where someone has to step in and move the needle. And not just a little bit. I'm talking 5 years, 10 years beyond where we're currently thinking, because
right.
The work for that has to happen today.
Because it takes 5 or 10 years to get there, absolutely.
Absolutely. Yeah. Though every time I turn around, I keep getting told it was supposed to be 5 years ago.
How far do you think the security industry is behind in general with these things? And not maybe so much the cyber side, but the physical side. I'm thinking they're 5 or 6 years behind usually.
Look, I think they're catching up rapidly.
Okay.
And I think it really depends on the organization and the leaders that they put in place. It needs to be somebody who, I mean, there's a lot of smart people in cybersecurity. I'd like to think that I'm one of them. But understanding where the boundaries of my knowledge lie and having a network that allows me to bring that other information in,
right.
That other perspective. You know, we talked about the concept of bringing in legacy. You know, you look at smart cities, smart nations, you look around the world, there's initiatives around dealing with smart cities in pockets. You have issues around data privacy. How do I secure my data? What am I doing with the data? Who's seeing
right.
it? Who's accessed it? All the typical IS issues that we see every single day.
And every country has a different version of that.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Everyone's got their own. And inside each country, I mean, take the U.S. as a perfect example. You know, a great example of democracy in action. Everybody's got their own opinion, even within the same
country. California is very strict compared to other states.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think what this does is it highlights the need for people who understand their particular domain to participate in this discussion, not just a bunch of really smart security folks to stand there and say, this is what we have to do, because I said so. I mean, it's a conversation that's going to include not just two parties or three parties. It'll be 20, 30 parties.
Right. Now, give me an example of an initiative you guys are working on. You don't have to name places or anything, but the general concept of who you're trying to move forward and what the project is.
So let's, I'd like to have a look at, say, like a cryptographic program.
Okay.
Is a perfect example. I mean, probably our two flagships right now are smart cities and smart nations and cryptography. And the reason that we're looking at that is obviously everyone's concerned around how do we actually secure communication. Doesn't matter what form, whether it's be visual, voice, whatever it may be, but we're dealing with an impending technology change, right? That being quantum computing.
Right.
So you have this whole area of research that focuses in two areas. You've got pre-quantum computing, which is, you know, the state of the nation right now, and then you've got post-quantum. But one of the things that Dark Matter is looking into is this idea of what do we know about post-quantum cryptography through our research internally, as well as those with academic institutions and partners, that allows us to take what we know is going to happen in 5 years or 10 years and actually implement that today to enhance our existing cryptographic controls.
Can I now, Ted? He's doing time travel, right?
Yeah, this is getting pretty intense. I
got a security guard ready to slow the brain down a little bit.
All right.
So, I get this to this degree, right? If I'm going to build a 1984 Corvette,
yes,
I got to start building it in 1974.
Yes.
Literally.
Yes.
Right? So, in the cyber world, is that thing condensed? Is time condensed that way where you actually can say, you know, in 5 years we're going to have biometric computers and everybody's going to run off your wired to your brain.
Yeah.
Well, we can't build it for 5 years, but we can if we try now. I mean, you see what I'm saying? How do you go backwards from that five-year future thing and trying to put it in
place
now?
Are you looking at behavioral statistics of tied to cybersecurity, tied to cryptographics, and saying this is what we need to do from a security measure today? Explain that a little bit.
Yeah, so look, it really takes into account. I mean, in order to find out where we're going to be and make an accurate prediction sort of 5-10 years from now, you have to understand where you're going. Okay, so you understand where you are, your end state, and then you come up with a plan as to how you're going to move from point A to point B. Now, there are certain elements of point B that exist today, things that we know, certain attributes. So say, for example, take the Corvette as an example, or you look anybody in the auto industry, they will see we've got to move to, say, the move to electric cars.
Right. They're doing that now, right?
Exactly. So there is a big difference between building a chemically fueled engine from a carbon perspective, so oil, gas, that kind of thing, and moving it to pure electric. But in between that, there are certain steps we can make. How about let's move to the concept of hybrid implementations?
Okay.
Plug-in hybrids.
Oh, I see. So that's what they're doing now, right?
Precisely.
Right.
So what it is saying, let's take advantage of some of those attributes that we like about the electric future. And let's do some of those now because we can do it.
So cryptology, the same concept. Let's bring some of those things backwards that can work.
Precisely.
Interesting. All right.
And so including it in what you're already doing today.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you talked about behavioral, and we usually talk about humans in that particular aspect.
Well, I was
right?
just going to ask you about that. They're so unpredictable, right?
So humans are probably the most unpredictable element in the chain.
Right.
But one of the beautiful things, I mean, is quantum cryptography is by its very, well, quantum computing by its very nature is just as unpredictable as the human element, right? That's part of the challenge that we're trying to get through. But there's certain things that we understand about the behavior of humans, just as we do with the behavior of quantum computing. There are certain elements that we can do to enhance the protections on our existing cryptographic protocols today. And so what we do is we understand how it works in the future and implement countermeasures now.
Oh, interesting. Now, I get this concept. Here's why. A friend of mine worked at remember Earthlink back in the day?
Oh, yes, certainly do.
Okay, great.
Actually, in fact, the office was, their office in Sydney, Australia was across the road from my house.
Oh,
at the
great
time.
Company, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And one of the guys, I can't remember his name, he was a friend of my friend, he worked on their security, and this was his concept back then. Okay, let's build Earthlink. First thing we're going to do is security. Oh, well, that is, no, we got to build the whole thing first, and then we put security on top of it.
Yes.
And they integrated it and built it from the ground up. So I get what you're saying. And a lot of places did not do that over the years. And then they wound up with all these breaches and things like this. So I get this concept, and it's fascinating. The question I have for you is, dark matter's doing it. Sounds like most people aren't doing it.
Yeah, look.
So your initiative is to get this out there to say, look, everybody, let's put this back to the future thing in place.
Yeah.
And let's start using it now. And we know they're going to hack us 5 years from now with their brain. Let's work on that problem before they do it.
Absolutely.
That's a good way to say it.
Look,
and I'll add to that because what we're finding with a lot of the different interviews that we're doing is that companies, businesses, users in general, just not operating with a security mindset, with that cyber hygiene that probably some of the people need to in order to be able to grasp and do what your company is actually out there pushing. Is that right?
Absolutely. But I would say off the bat, immediately, there's another Aussie thing for you off the bat. But one of the things that we have to recognize straight away is it's quite often, the story 5 years ago was we didn't do it because it was going to cost me some money.
Right.
And I couldn't quantify it either qualitatively or any metrics I wanted to place against it. I really couldn't do it to convince my upper management. Today, I think the discussion is very different. And that is that, yes, I can. In fact, I've got the C-level coming to me now saying, are you doing?
That's a shift, right?
And that's a good shift. It's a positive shift. Now we're in this position of how do I do it?
Right.
So all of a sudden, you've got this conversation that didn't go up before. It's now coming back down. And now the question, I think, is more about how do I do it? How do I implement it? I mean, Black Hat's a fantastic event. You'll see hundreds of security professionals and vendors talking about what it is they think is the next best thing. And one of the things Dark Matter is trying to do is really pull together not just the best minds in our own industry, but the best minds in academics, research, as well as our strategic partners, and say, look, let's pull all the best bits together and plot this as a reasonable path forward. Let's become an enabler of the business. Let's help you get to your end state. And I think when we say an enabler of the business, it's very key to note that every single organization is different. Sure, we all have common threads,
right?
But there's always some weird thing that that particular CIO or that particular IT security manager is struggling with that doesn't exist somewhere else. And no matter how much we plead and beg, nothing is going to change that.
Well, unless you can identify the culture first.
Oh, absolutely.
I think that's the key. And I learned this at the studios, that every studio in Hollywood, there's seven major, have a different personality.
Yes.
And a different culture. And Disney's Disney. We know what that means, right? But Fox is more like corporate. Warner Brothers is more like, you know, rough and tumble. They're just different cultures. And if you go to each one of those studios and try to put another initiative in that's the same, we're all going to get the same access control system. Won't work. Just won't work. It should work, right? Yeah. So how do you overcome the cultural barrier?
Well, it's funny. We talk about time travel.
Yeah.
Right? From the very, very first discussion that you have to have people who are not just coming in with a solution or what they think is a solution to a problem, but you have to have people who are listening. From the very second they approach the building.
Right.
And in fact, even before, when you're doing your pre-discussions, your review of the organization, you should never go into an organization cold. Understand what it is that you think that they're trying to achieve. And then listen, where are their pain points? Where are their challenges? Because you're not going to get any better information than the people who are hurting right now. And that's when you can start ingraining either support, solutions, you know, other ideas, participation in sort of collaborative industry events, whatever it may be, whatever form it may take, even professional coaching, peer-to-peer.
Right.
You know, we do this bi-directionally on a day-to-day basis. You start to take that problem, which is 5 years away, and you start to narrow the gap.
Interesting. Now, who comes to you? Like, what type of client comes to you? Or do you go seek them out? There's always a sales component to everything. Life
Absolutely.
Is sales. I get that part. But this is a little beyond sales to me. These are things that are life-sustaining and changing issues, and companies are moving that way, not for their bottom line anymore as much as, they just don't want to have the problems that are going to occur if they don't do something about it. So do you approach this from a, I don't describe it, it's not a sales pitch.
Value add? Right?
Value add, yeah. Do you approach it as a value add, or how do you?
Look, I think
it's high concept stuff, right?
So yeah.
It's not you walking in saying, I'm selling you a widget.
Yeah.
That's easy. This is high concept stuff. How do you get into that door on that?
So it's actually really interesting. So I think there's several folds to it, especially when it comes to Dark Matter. The first is the people that we have is number one. So when we went around and actually brought in the top tier of the business, the upper management, so to speak, the executive level, these aren't your traditional business leaders. These are people with significant amounts of business leadership experience, but the primary key element is not just passion for their particular area of cybersecurity, but their ability to work vertically, horizontally, but also deep subject matter expertise in that particular area. Now, I'm not going to tell you that I'm the best reverse engineer on the planet. I've got a team of fantastic people that do that. But the fact of the matter is I can sit down and just as much as I can listen to the conversation above me, I can have that conversation with the people that I work with in my team to get that work done. So the first thing is we actually understand our areas passionately from the second that we walk in the door. The second thing that we have on our side is the fact that we're actually trusted at a national level. Okay, so
that's important. All right.
Absolutely. And we're actually, if you have a look at some of our marketing material, you know, they've done a great job. But the reality is we're trusted by nations.
I saw that, yeah.
To actually...
That did catch my attention, I must say.
And one of the reasons that we have that is because we have the people.
Right.
So, yes, there's a bottom line driving all of this. There absolutely is. And you can't avoid that. Otherwise, this is a big party that'll end in a couple of months.
Right.
Right. But the reality is we've been around for significantly longer than anybody actually realizes. And the reason that we've been there is we've been able to provide not just solutions to existing problems, but to find new ways of addressing future problems that we know are coming and dealing with them today. And doing that at a national level really does set the bar as far as your reputation's concerned, your credibility's concerned. It's one of those things, right? you go big and you either succeed big or you fail big.
That's right. That's what we're doing here in Security Guardy. We're failing big every single day. We try to do it that way. Now, here's something I think is a problem. You tell me what Black Matter would address and how they would look at it, and I bet you've already thought about it. I think we're going to run out of storage. I think before something else happens with the faster computer, we're going to say, wait a minute, I got no capacity. I can put only so many terabytes, or what's the next one after terabyte?
Petabytes.
Giant, whatever.
Yeah, yottabytes.
No more space. Anybody looking at that problem? I think it's a problem. Maybe I'm wrong.
Look, and this would be an area that I don't think would fall directly. I mean, we do infrastructure services, so we sit on the bleeding edge. We work with Cisco on their compute modules. We work with all of the OpenStack development systems. Across the industry, we're participating at the top global level to make sure that the infrastructure that all of our systems work on deal with things like capacity management and those sorts of things. However, that's not really an area that we're pushing for. But from a security perspective, I'm a C&D guy, right?
Right.
Cyber network defense, active defense, those kinds of things. First thing I try to do is if I can't break the door down, I may as well just trash the building.
And makes sense.
Just flood the fish tank, so to speak. And that analogy sort of spills over very, very nicely into things like capacity management. There may not be a vulnerability in your stack. There may not be a security issue with your externally facing profile. But what you will find is that I can actually take your system completely offline, which is effectively a huge denial of service.
Exactly, right. Well, let's talk about that. So I'm worried about, I'm not worried about ISIS marching in here and shooting everybody. I'm worried about them turning off the switch and now we're out of power for 6 months and that's it.
Absolutely.
End of story, all right? America's gone.
Yeah.
How do you look at things like that on that level? I mean, I did do some interviews with some people at Cisco about the grid, and I was comfortable that there's some really smart people watching it and taking care of it and looking at it, but maybe that's not going on in London. I don't know. Maybe other cities aren't doing that, right? Is that a concern for you guys?
Look, I think it is a concern. So, part of the Smart Cities initiative is also, the concept of, as we move to things like SCADA systems, ICS, control environments, PLCs, all these sorts of things that we've seen affected by, like the Stuxnet worm. It's a really easy example that everyone's quite familiar with. These are challenges that aren't going away, but unfortunately, it's something that has to be done at a national level. This is something that private industry will only do to benefit itself.
This is where I think I'm worried, right?
Absolutely.
Because private industry does a better job for all kinds of reasons. It's not a knock at the government. It's just a different animal.
Yes.
They don't function the same way. But the government has to turn to the private sector to solve these problems, really.
So the challenge then becomes, what happens when the parts... So one of the things that we're trying to do is, with the move to things like smart cities, IoT-enabled environments. So, look in the UAE, the Gulf, right? We're talking about the idea of digital oil fields. You're starting to see consumer electronics that would barely make the grade in your home, Wi-Fi router being deployed on a system that's pumping 50 million barrels of oil a day. Now, there are a lot of controls in place to protect that. But what happens when you start to get into that volume business that doesn't have the money or the, let's say it openly, the regulatory drive to say, you have to check this. And who checks the person that checked it? I mean, it's the fox guarding the hen house.
Exactly, right.
So it becomes a very, very difficult situation. So you look at very sort of forward-thinking organizations. Take GE as an example. Huge in the manufacturing industry, automation, control, all of these things. One of the things you'll find is there's a significant amount of effort that's gone into securing all these different systems.
By them. Okay, good.
But this is one part of the industry. So then the discussion goes on to who's next? ABB. Who goes on to what's next? And then you start to get as the names sort of go down the list, there starts to become names that may be difficult for people like you and I to pronounce. And these are people that
The Acme router isn't exactly at the top of the security list.
Precisely. Yeah. And unfortunately, and I've been through this situation myself far too many times, you'll end up in a mine site in the middle of nowhere, 5,000 kilometers from anywhere, in the middle of a jungle or a desert, and you'll see right there is the Acme router, which is sending all the data back to headquarters.
Oh,
and that to me is a bit of a problem.
Yeah, I guess we got to give them some points for trying, but
they
could be causing a worse problem. They should just stick with carbon paper and a carrier pigeon. It might be safer. I mean,
but mind you, I think Wile E. Coyote should have given us the heads up 60 years
ago. Well, we make fun, but it's serious.
Absolutely.
I think I live in what I would call, not a smart city, an idiot savant city, All right. So Burbank is pretty great on a lot of things. It's a great
Absolutely.
Town. It's a great city.
Love it.
And they came by and said, oh, we're going to put this Wi-Fi thing on your meter. I said, well, that's fantastic. I'm all for technology. And it's going to read everything. My bill has been nothing but going up and up like the stock market. And my water goes up. But they've never actually come out and read my water meter because it's covered in dirt and all kinds of things. So I know I'm getting scammed on that, right? So I'm for it. But then it goes back to who's watching who. So
Absolutely.
All DWP says is I don't want to send somebody out to check it like the old days. We're going to just do this Wi-Fi. Now I'm sure they're doing something like averaging for me, right? But,
yeah.
You know, I'm gone a month and my water bill is $300. What that's what you're talking about, right?
So it's a smart meter. I have a similar story to share. My electricity meters, I got three-phase power at a house in Australia that I own. And for some reason, in a house that hasn't been occupied for the last 16 months, it's consuming 20 kilowatts of electricity a day. So now that was around my average when I was there, but if this thing's so smart, sending back data.
Well, see, that's it, right? So, and I think there's a reluctance on the consumer side. The governments are going to buy and say, we're going to go smart city, but you know what? They better check with the people, because I'm about ready to rip that thing off my meter and say, you know what? This is for you and this is for your horse. I'm not using it anymore because I don't trust it.
Yeah.
Because nobody's watching the people that are watching, like
Absolutely.
You said.
And this is where you start to get national. Like, if you look at Common Criteria Labs, you know, there are pieces of equipment that must go through that particular type of certification to be deployed for a whole bunch of safety reasons, as well as, you know, the usual reasons around compliance. There needs to be an AIS component to that, an information security component that's brought into that evaluation criteria. The UAE, as an example, just because it's something that we're dealing with right now, has basically said, look, you can be common criteria and that'll get you 90% of the way. But you're not getting through the door without the last 10%. And that 10% is a nationalized testing and validation lab that allows them to say they check their homework. And there's different levels. If you're able to produce, it's just like an audit.
Yeah.
In a sense, if you're able to produce the documents and the evidence to say, look, we've gone through the appropriate rigor and we've been audited and it's been checked, that's fine. But if you don't have any of that, well, all of a sudden, alarm bells start ringing. You're going to go through a much higher level of scrutiny to try and get that.
Are you familiar with the ONVIF?
No.
So ONVIF is an organization. It's private, and it's compiled of, you know, all the giant camera manufacturers.
Mm-hmm.
And they work together for standards.
Yes.
And they say, you know what? We don't want our stuff to ship with password 01 anymore, which they used to do, right?
It's been really inconvenient.
Yeah. And now they say, let's come with standard, and they work together to create their own standards, so it tightens up security for everybody. And they're not really competing in that space. They are competitors, right? But they... If you pass this inspection, this criteria, this standard, and belong to ONVIF and put that stamp on it, your camera's worth more money. See, it's more valuable. So are you finding that who's better at doing this regulation stuff? Government, bureaucrats, they say they're better at it, but isn't the private sector better at setting up these things and saying, look, shouldn't the private sector do it first so the government doesn't come in and cock it up?
So
That's a British term, by the way.
I certainly do.
All right.
By crikey. I'll try to get that in there. But I think it's an interesting discussion, because look, private industry has a key motivational element that says, I got to get this done really quickly, otherwise people aren't going to buy my product, or I'm
exactly.
going to hold up my manufacturing cycle.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of decisions that say, I can do this faster. But then again, the commercial consideration comes in and says, how do I get this done to the correct price point? So I think there's two sides to the discussion that have to happen. One of the primary fears that we see, and this is not just in the GCC, but globally, previously in my existing role, was this concept of, well, we can self-regulate, but why put all this energy in if we think the government's going to jump in and say, let's have another set of rules?
No, I guess that's true.
We walk into some companies and they're regulated by PCI DSS, and then they've got ISO sitting over the top of that, and then they've got a national standard sitting on top of that, and all of a sudden, oh, and then you can have a state level set of compliance requirements that sit on top of that.
Yeah, that's true.
So all of a sudden you have people saying, well, hang on, where's my middle ground? And then, I mean, dark matter then jumps into the fold and says, well, hang on, actually, we can cover all of your governance, risk, and compliance through a single suite. We take all your input and we just predefine it. You want an ISO report? Bang. You want a PCI report? Bang. Based on all the existing evidence, you don't have to re-engineer the wheel every time.
Right.
So I think there's a discussion to be had on both sides, but it's certainly something that needs a bit of a kick in the pants every now and again,
yeah.
Especially with something like cybersecurity. There are some parts of the industry which just, in order to move that needle forward, is going to require a significant amount of investment, and it's not something that the shareholders are going to tolerate.
Yeah, it comes down to the money at the end sometimes.
Sometimes.
Yeah. Well, this has been a fascinating. What do we got? A couple minutes?
Yeah, still have a couple minutes.
All right, so give us your website again, how we get a hold of you.
Darkmatter.ae, one word. And all of our information's up there, our contact details. You can look at my profile as well as some many, many other interesting profiles. We've got the Queen of Crypto on there, Najwara Raj. We've got Harshal Joshi, who used to head up the ISO stand.
Oh, these sound like these are rock star names.
And then you've got me sitting in the middle of it. And I don't know how that happened. Right. But no, all of our contact details are there. But more importantly, there's a lot of information about what we're doing, a lot of information about our initiatives.
Yeah.
And one of the things I'd encourage anybody to do is we're really open to this conversation. I mean, it's a commercial discussion at the end of the day, but to be perfectly honest, we're being driven by this idea of moving security forward in a meaningful way. And that means talking to the right people. It means, I mean, we have this concept of guarded by genius, right? We hire the people that are the best.
It's funny you said that because I was thinking they got a bunch of geniuses working there. So your marketing people did a brilliant
Absolutely.
Tagline. That's great. Well, thanks for going on Security Guy Radio. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Thanks. Really appreciate it.